Back to Blues Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jason, along with Chris.
Yo!
All right, and we're broadcasting during the intermission, the second intermission of the Blues game against the Lightning, and currently it's 0-0. We're shooting 32-19, I think we just said, right? Yeah, and then our chances are 47-30-something, so we're playing well, except for the power play. Power play is awful.
Terrible!
Yeah, so really bad, but on the good news is that the Blues, amazingly, after weeks of us talking about how awful they were playing, are only 1 point out of a playoff spot with three games in hand on the Vancouver Canucks right now. Somehow.
I mean, I believe if everything breaks correct tonight that we're broadcasting Thursday night, we could wake up Friday morning with the Blues in a wild card spot.
Yeah, and the 7 points out of the third place spot right now with a game in hand. So Dallas is playing well. Minnesota just lost Mikko Koivu to a big injury. Mikko, he's out for the rest of the year. And who knows if they climb back into the playoff race. So one of the wild card seeds seems like where they might finish unless Dallas decides to have a free fall. Don't be wrong, the Blues are playing very well. But also the free fall of many teams in front of them has really helped. Minnesota is one of those teams.
The Ducks have completely forgotten how to play hockey.
And John Gibson, once again, making my fantasy team fall out of first place. So thank you for that. There's a lot of different teams just kind of crapping themselves right now. And some of the teams that have played really bad are playing really well now. L.A. has won three in a row. Chicago's won 4 or 5. So it's very odd that the bottom feeders, that now it's getting very compact now. There aren't teams that are really bad in the West compared to – everybody's kind of mediocre right now in that little bottom grouping for those last playoff spots. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to get there. So, but I think the way the Blues are playing, and it looks like Jordan Binnington is – I guess we can say the starter now since he's playing in his fourth game in a row, fourth out of five, or whatever.
I think it's safe to say. I was watching the game earlier tonight, and Fox Sports Midwest have officially updated the little bumpers that go in between commercials for the game, and it no longer mentions Jake Allen. It's a shot by O'Reilly and then saved by Binnington.
Yeah, so I saw that the last game, which is interesting. You know, it's,
to my knowledge, I don't think the team has officially said one. Or another, what they're in, Binnington is your blue starter.
Yeah, I think it is too. So it's a pretty interesting, once again, it's kind of happened. So we'll go into more depth about that. We got only two games to go over so far. Obviously, the third one is the one that's currently going on. Both wins so far. So Blues play the Columbus Blue Jackets coming out of the break, and then they played the Florida Panthers. Both games were kind of had their own little different spin on them. So I thought the Blues super outplayed Columbus, and they came back and won in the Panthers game.
Yeah, the Columbus game was a fairly dominant performance. The Panthers game was a good rebound game. That's the type of game you like to see from a team coming down the stretch in the hunt for a playoff spot. They could have really easily.
Yep. So let's see. So we're going over the Columbus game. So start off really well. Ryan O'Reilly got his 19th of the year off kind of a rebound goal, a rebound off a shot from Pietrangelo. So his 19th from Pietrangelo and Tarasenko at the 8:28 mark. And then also, Carl Gunnarsson gets in the mix and has been playing really well since he got back from injury. His third of the season already from Shen and Tarasenko at the 19:15 mark. So the Blues are up 2-0 after one. Like I said, playing really well. Unfortunately, couldn't get the shutout. Borgstrom gets his ninth of the year from Panarin, but Tarasenko gets that right back about 30-ish seconds later, his 18th from O'Reilly and Shen. Just a hard-working goal from Tarasenko. It wasn't like it was like a kind of sniper shot or used from him, just a rebound, goal. And he was working hard in front. So
dove over the defenseman, rolled around on the ice, and put the puck in.
Yeah, and he also saved a goal earlier on a pretty good back check. So playing pretty well. Scary moments here at the end. Pierre-Luc Dubois got his 19th of the year from Panarin and Atkinson, the 17-23 mark. But Oscar Sundquist gets the empty net goal to seal it at the 19-30 mark from Shin. So once again, the Blues send, mind you, Blue Jackets in our free fall. They're looking like they're going to get rid of Bobrovsky and Panarin, looks like, and they're going to have to do kind of a retool now, it looks like. After having a pretty decent start to the season, they're in a free fall. They will lose to Blues. They're fifth in a row. They've lost. Blues win two in a row. Can they win three in a row again? And obviously, we've already kind of said that, and they do, which is great in a different way, sort of. Blues really didn't play well this game to start, at least in Florida. And also, don't forget, it was the dress up as an empty seat night at Florida that day.
Boy, was it. Holy cow. That was the first thing I noticed about that game, is it was dress as an empty seat night. Oh, my God. Like, it was
just, yeah, it was bad.
Where I had to play it again, because I was like, I know it's not Miami, and I know it's not West Palm, but it's got to be somewhere where they should draw a crowd. And it's pretty much random between the two markets. Dude, there was nobody at that game. Nobody.
They're talking about NHL radio the next day, and I think it was Matthew Barnaby's like, I could throw a baseball, and I couldn't hit anywhere in the stadium. I could throw a baseball, and I wouldn't hit anybody. There's just so many empty seats. They're like, how can they continue? How NHL continue to have a team in Florida is beyond me. When you have cities like Quebec and Houston that are like begging for teams.
Well, and here's the thing is, they talk about Phoenix and how bad the situation is in Phoenix. I've never seen an arena in Phoenix as empty as that one in Florida the other night. That was atrocious. And that's
playoff
last year, right?
They just missed, just like the Blues. They were 1 point away last year. So they're, okay. But I mean, they're right there, though. I mean, not like they were god awful to the point of being in last place to get the number one pick. They were in the playoff hunt, and they came down to the last day, just like the Blues. And they got good players on teams. It's not like they don't have bad. They have marketable names. You got Mike Hoffman. You got Barkov. Luongo's a known name at least. Trocheck is a pretty good player. Dandanov is going to be a pretty good player. Ekblad is, the number one pick from years ago. So, I mean, they got names, so it's kind of interesting on how nobody cares. Contender Tampa, mind you, I'll say this. Tampa has a cup, more entertaining team right now, and number one in the league, so that's why they have a good crowd. But I don't know. It's an interesting thing going on there. So, like you said, is it a location? Is it – I don't know.
Well,
it'd be a lot of different things.
You look at Tampa, and the thing that a lot of people don't realize is that it's really only about maybe 30 minutes, 45 from Tampa to Orlando. It's pretty much a shared market, which is why, you look at the fact that Tampa's got three of the teams. The one sport that Tampa doesn't have, NBA, is what Orlando has. So you have, those two markets to draw from there. But, I mean, you're not that far from Miami when you're talking Sunrise, Florida. And I got to imagine that they did their homework as to why they would put that team in Sunrise as opposed to Miami proper. But holy crap, man, there is nobody going to those games.
Yeah, it was quite empty. And especially when the Blues wound up scoring, it was louder than when they scored.
Yeah. Well, you got to when you have an arena that's that empty, you got to think that the people that are there are away fans.
Oh yeah, it was a lot of Blues fans. You could see, and when the Blues scored some goals here in the third, they quite loud. So let's quickly go through the scoring here. In the first period, Henrik Borgstrom gets his fifth year on the power play from Vetrano and Ekblad. It said on the power play, it was pretty much a shot from the point that hit Vetrano. Then Borgstrom pretty much just cleaned up the puck, and Binnington had no chance. He didn't see where it was at. All the way to the third period now. Another power play goal. Barkov gets his 19th from Hoffman and Yandel. Just started the period, a 30-second mark.
Yeah.
Pretty much it was just a scramble play, and Binnington was sliding one way, and the puck deflected another way, and no way he could get to this.
I really thought that was going to be a backbreaker for this team. And again, this goes to show you how far this team has come. I'm going to say, honestly, just in the last 6 weeks. You know, even as far back as December, a goal like that would have killed this team's morale. And, you know, not only did they not fold, they came back and scored three straight. The team, it is night and day different than it was before the holidays.
Yeah, it's so crazy where there hasn't been too many big changes either. I mean, you're talking Gunnarsson's back. A couple of the kids are like McEachern is up. Nothing like really much changed, you know? So I don't know if it's Brube kind of getting his.
I mean, let's call it through what? There's one big change, and that's goaltending.
Yeah.
That's obviously the biggest change on a night to night basis is that
you
have a different goaltender. Because you're right, for the most part, you have the same group of forwards, the same group of defenders out there night after night. The only change has been the guy between the pipes. And I don't think that Jordan Binnington is that much better than Jake Allen, but he's playing confident and the team's playing confident in front of him. I was saying tonight as I was having dinner that obviously going into this weekend with the Blues having a back-to-back against Nashville on Saturday and Sunday, Jake Allen's going to start one of those games. And God help him if he comes out, be it Saturday at home or Sunday in Nashville, but God help him if he comes out and just lays an egg and gives up three in the first. It's, dude, I think the writing's on the wall that he's done here, be it at the trade deadline or worst case scenario, sometime in the offseason. I think the writing's on the wall that the Blues are ready to move on from him. But, dude, at some point, like, I think if he gets in and melts down this weekend, I think you need to sit Binnington down and say, if we're going to make a run at this, you got to be ready to play every night, back-to-back nights if needed.
Yeah, it is interesting that that's kind of like the biggest change. And I believe it was on, I want to say, one of the radio stations, I think we'll say 101 ESPN, which we'll get into that later. I think it was Corey Hirschman had somebody on, and they said that the team feeds off the goaltender either when the goaltending is negative or positive. If the goaltender is pulling out amazing saves or even making the basic saves to keep a team in it, like they want to go out and score that goal. When the goaltender is letting that can't stop beach ball, like it just deflates a team and then it shows in the play. So they said with Binnington coming in and playing good to great hockey compared to Jake Allen playing really bad to maybe acceptable levels sometimes, maybe sometimes good, it shows. And I think that's kind of what happened here. Binnington had some really good saves and kind of kept them in it while they weren't really playing that well the first two and a little bit of quarter periods.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out really well. So like we talked about, Colton Parayko gets a wraparound goal. The Dmitri Yashin special. There we go. Spit it out. So Parayko is ninth from Sundqvist at 3:05. And off kind of a weird kind of play in front. Basically a puck hit Reimer and just kind of somebody got cross-checked down. I think it was Tarasenko. And the puck's kind of underneath him, and there's just two or three Blues players there and two or three Panther players there. And the puck is still like loose. And the referee was saw the puck and didn't blow the whistle, and good for the Blues because Brian O'Reilly stuck it through Reimer's legs at the 11:09 mark for his 20th of the year from Shen and Tarasenko.
Yeah, they
Blue Chiat could do.
Florida tried to call for a goaltender interference on this.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't know why, aside from maybe you just want the extra time.
It doesn't hurt, yeah.
Because you watch that replay, and there's no way that they were going to call Tarasenko for interference on that play.
Yeah, there was no way. So it was just kind of a desperate call because, you know, NHL doesn't know goaltender interferences yet, so they figured they might as well try.
It's very true.
Yeah. And then Vince Dunn with a really great play here, great vision, and just picks the loose puck up. And Maroon, I'll give him props for this, was hustling back to get on signs.
Yep.
Because he got barely on sides there. And I'm surprised they didn't. They couldn't challenge because I think they lost their timeout. So basically, Dunn comes in, takes a wrist shot, and beats Reimer at the 16:07 mark. The Blues take the lead and wind up holding on the win 3-2.
Yep.
So three wins in a row again. And this puts them 1 point out of the playoffs. I mean, with three games in hand on Vancouver, who's right in front of them, and then a game in hand on, I believe it's Minnesota, who's up there too. So
and Colorado.
Yeah. So it's interesting how they've been able to crawl back into contention here.
And Colorado and Minnesota are both playing tonight. At the last look, Colorado was losing to Washington in the third. And Minnesota was losing in the second. The big news out of Minnesota is they have lost Mikko Koivu for the remainder of the season with an ACL injury tonight.
Yeah, so, it's real interesting. The Blues have a real good chance to do some damage. So, let's see. I'm just doing a quick look here. So, Minnesota's – we have two games on them, but they are and we have 4 points difference. So we'll have if we win those two games, we'll be exactly the same record as them. So come down to tiebreakers there. So I mean, they got a chance. I say grab that number one wild card spot, which who knows, that could be either Calgary or Winnipeg at this point, or maybe Nashville. It could be. I don't know. San Jose's been having a good month too. So yeah, it's about the four teams I think you could wind up playing. So.
I would agree. And, you know, the thing I was going to bring that up, and I'm glad you mentioned Calgary, is that maybe I just haven't paid that close of attention, but quietly, Calgary has had a hell of a season.
Yeah, came out. And the Blues have beat them twice, too, this year, and it made it look made them look kind of stupid, both games. It's been weird. So. Because they've been played really well. But I mean, maybe since then they played pretty well. I think the one game we kind of crapped against them, but the two games, I remember two of the three games we played really well. I remember the first time we played them, it was one of our first wins of the year where we won like 5-1 or something like that.
Yep.
They played really well. So quick scoreboard watching. Avalanche have tied it up with the Capitals with about 2 minutes left in the third. The Jets are losing to the Canadians. Oh, man.
The Blue Jackets.
The Ducks are losing. Yeah, the Ducks are losing to the Senators. Jesus Christ.
I believe if they lose this game, that will have been 18 of their last 20 games lost.
Yeah. Yeah. John Gibson's getting darn close. He's been getting sad every game since last week for me.
Well,
so.
I remember watching that game that the Ducks played against the Blues the last game before the All-Star game, where the Blues lit Gibson up for 5.
And he didn't look great.
He didn't look good. And then you get into the All-Star game, and obviously the All-Star game is an exhibition game. The goaltenders aren't trying their damnedest. But he looked like he was a contest winner who won a go suit up and goal for part of the All-Star game contest because he wasn't stopping nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they come back and it's, you know, same stuff, different day with John Gibson. And that guy was supposed to be the future of that team. And I'll tell you
I think he's just overused. He's just overused, man. Like, they rode him too much.
For Jake Allen.
Yeah. They just overused Gibson like crazy because he's the only thing, like, they weren't scoring at all to start the season. And if you look at John Gibson's record, he has like a .500 record.
Right.
But he has like almost a 93 save percentage and barely over two goals against before this free fall, like goals against, he was playing so well. And he was in the Vezina conversation, even though his win-loss record was almost 500 and not that good. He's holding his team in it. And I think it's just simple. He's just worn out now. And just because they had our old friend Chad Johnson hasn't really played much or played well either. And Ryan Miller, old friend Ryan Miller, is still hurt. He's been out over two months now.
Wow.
So update, the Canucks just scored against the Blackhawks, so 2-2 there. Oilers winning against the Wild 2-0. So interesting stuff there. So we'll go with the only Blues news that's kind of note so far, I guess, besides it being the dad's trip that they keep talking about. The big news is the Blues are going to have a new radio home starting next season.
Yes, they will. The Blues will be moving to FM.
Which is a good FM station on top of that. It's not like the HD FM where, you know, like you – it's like the one – they used to be like 102.5. Their HD station used to be like their FM version of –
it still is. 102.5 HD3 is basically an FM simulcast of Camo X. Which is how I, for years now, have listened to the Blues in my car because it's actually it's a decent feed of KMOX without all the AM static in it. But for terrestrial radio, it's been 1120 KMOX, which, look, man, you can knock AM radio all you want, but KMOX is a very, very powerful AM radio station. You don't need to look any further than the St. Louis Cardinals. And the fact that the St. Louis Cardinals fan base reaches everywhere because you can hear the Cardinals everywhere on KMOX. The problem is we now live in a world where AM radio is fairly obsolete because it doesn't, without getting into the science of it, AM radio's radio waves don't act the same as FM's. Therefore, it's not as clear. It's more susceptible to interference. And so, obviously when you're listening to something like live sports, you don't want to miss an important moment of the game because, you know, there's phone lines crackling or you went down into a valley or went around a corner and something is obstructing your reception.
Yeah, so they have a 4-year deal with a 5th-year option. So basically, they're being 101 ESPN. Kerber and Joe Vitale will move over and still be the radio team, which will be great. And they said they're going to be on the digital platform. They're going to have more radio shows, podcasts that are hockey centric. So they didn't get the detail about those, but the 101 ESPN deal is more content, hockey centric content, which
Hal Hubbard,
good stuff. So I mean, it's good that they can get a deal like this. So
it is
101 is king in the town for sports talk right
now. And look, I think a lot of people immediately want to point to back when I believe the Blues left KMOX once before. I know the Cardinals
right?
And they went 590.
Yeah, I think that was
550.
One of the two. It was one of those. Yeah, yeah.
And again, it's another AM station. And I think that's part of the problem. You know, this is going to be a situation where you're on a very, very strong FM signal. And that makes all the difference in the world. You know, this was the flagship station of the, dare I say, the team we don't like to talk about. This was the flagship station of the St. Louis Rams. So it's not like they're ill-equipped and don't know how to handle live sports. I think it's a great move for the team. I think it's a great move for the city and the fan base. And I know it's going to be weird not to hear KMOX, but I think that this could be really, really good for all parties involved.
Yeah, so it's going to be good. And it's, you know, also they're bought by Hubbard, right? Correct, Hubbard Broadcasting. So they also own The Point, Keishi, 101 ESPN, and I'm probably missing a station mixed in there. Okay, yeah, so there's plenty of stations that they own. So good stuff there, and I think it's going to be definitely for the Blues and help them grow because, you know, obviously a lot of us listen to games on their phones or whatever, and if they're going to put stuff on digital and stuff and FM, I think is obviously something that is more in tune with the smartphones. I believe there's like you can use there's like an FM tuner type thing in some phones now. So at the end of the day, good stuff. ESPN has a ton of stuff. They have their own app and stuff like that. So I'm not sure on KMOX. I'm not trying to down KMOX, but you know. So okay, so let me talk about what was our EA Sports update. So we talked about it last podcast, but we just ran a little long. So we talked about some other stuff, all the grading and stuff. So like we talked about, NHL 19 always does updates periodically throughout the season, but they always do a really big one at the All-Star game. And they kind of send – and this year are like – in the past, maybe I just always missed this email. But in the past, they I don't think they ever published this. Maybe I missed it. I was saying, so this year they sent an email out and kind of had like a list of all the players that they changed.
Correct.
And then and so Chris was kind enough to forward it to me and give me an idea. So the Blues had I mean, quite a few players actually on this list, which is interesting. So in no particular order here. And it's weird they had James Schwartz listed as center. That's the only thing that was weird. He's a decrease, which is 100% not surprising.
Not at all.
Went from an 87 to an 86. So we don't mind. I think we can agree with that, that he hasn't had the best of seasons.
Correct.
That's how he only has three goals so far. Say what you want. And like if he's shooting way below his shooting percentage, right? And his career shooting percentage is like 13%, and he's shooting at like 2.8%. If he shot at his 13% right now, he'd have like almost 20 goals.
Agreed.
So maybe it's that he's just a little snake bitten, maybe, hopefully, because apparently he's doing good things away from the puck. So I don't know.
Especially, you know, guys who are skilled players and goal scorers and shooters, you know, your scores in any sport, I think when you get into a drought and you know you're in a drought, and by a drought, I don't mean like two or three games, but I mean, dude, it's been 20, 30 games for shorts at this point without a goal.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It gets in your head, and I think you probably, you know, hold the stick a little tighter. You're probably, you know, squeezing a little bit more, and you're fighting it. You're fighting your own instincts and your own abilities, and, you know, that's tough. And I'm sure once he finally buries one that's not an empty netter, once he finally beats a goalie and puts one in the net, I'm sure that it's going to be floodgates, and he'll get, you know, two, three more real quick. But, you know, any of us who've played sports have been there, man. There's times, like for me, it was basketball. There's times where the rim felt like it was the size of Lake Michigan. There's times where the rim felt like it was the size of a can of green beans. You know what I mean? And you spend more time where you feel like you can't miss as opposed to times where you feel like you can't score.
Yeah. So I think hopefully he can turn around here down the stretch because the Blues have 12 games in the next 20 days. So
yeah, they're going to be busy.
Yeah, so they have a lot of four or five back-to-backs, and then coming up soon. So month of February, they basically have a game every other day from the rest of the month. So there's not a two-day break between games until February 27th and 28th. So they have a long time before they have a sizable break. So the next one is actually an up a point was Vince Dunn from 81 to 82.
Sure.
I say, okay, like I guess he's had an okay season, so I can see it there. Here's a couple ones that are down. These are all just down by no, only a couple guys that went up by two. Most of these are just 1 or 2 point kind of swings. So Jay Bomeister and Alex Pietrangelo both go down a point. Bomeister from 81 to an 80, and Pietrangelo from an 89 to an 88. So I guess we can see.
I think that's fair.
At least Pietrangelo's gone down a little bit, and Jay Bomeister's lost a step, so I guess you can consider that down a point, even though he's starting to play better recently. So the rest of these guys are all upgrades. So Sundqvist and Thomas both went up. Sundqvist went up 1 point to a 77 from a 76, and Thomas went up 2 points to a 77 from 75.
I'm honestly a little shocked that Sundqvist didn't go up more than 1 point.
Because he had career highs and everything and playing really well. So I thought he'd be at least a two-pointer, but only one. And obviously Jordan Binnington wasn't really playing that much, so he's not on this list right now. So of they made any changes to him. Maybe that'll maybe in another update they'll do a change. But the only update for goalies is Jake Allen went down a point from an 83 to an 82. The biggest one of all the goalies, the biggest thing I saw in this whole list going through it was Carter Hart went from a 70 to a 79. Wow. So he's played very well for the Philadelphia Flyers. Even though the Blues beat him, he's played very, very well. So we talked about our poll last week was we kind of said, like, what do you think the Blues should do? Should they make the playoff push and go for it in the playoffs, or should they not tank per se, but try for a top pick and, you know, sell off players and go for a top pick? So I threw that out there on Twitter, and I'm going to close the poll out here real quick. Let's say phrasing for two.
For this win.
Yeah, I mean, considering where it's at now, it's pretty obvious. So 144 votes, so a lot of votes. What's your guess on this, Chris? Because I hope you don't have it in front of you.
Overwhelmingly, I'm going to say it's going to be in the high 80s, low 90s, make the playoffs.
Are you sure you didn't look at it?
I didn't. I have not looked at a single thing.
Okay. 91% said playoffs compared to 9%.
And look, like, even before the team started to make this push, you know, I think I put this out on my personal Twitter maybe a month or so ago when we were equally 4 points out of a wild card spot and 4 points out of dead last in the West. I think that's the first time I posed this question. And, you know, my thought process at the time was, look, man, I get that making the playoffs is fun. I like making the playoffs too. But I'm also to the point where I'm tired of playing for participation trophies. You know what I mean? Like, if we're not going to make a deep run, and at the time, and even now, I'm not convinced this team has got what it takes to make a deep run. Why expend the energy? You know, to me, everyone wants to point to the 2012 LA Kings and, you know, the last game of the season, they were trying to figure it out if they were going to make the playoffs. And then they just buzzsawed their way through the entire Western Conference, Blues included, on the way to their first Stanley Cup. I get it, man. Like, who knows what happens once you get in? But until recently, there's been nothing about the way this team has played that has made me think that this team is anywhere remotely to where that team is. To me, this team has seemed more like the 07-08 Blues that pushed so damn hard to get back into the playoffs, got in, actually finished sixth in the West, pulled Vancouver, and just got destroyed in four games straight.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
To me, like, there's too much that could happen positively for this team if they miss the playoffs to flush it away on a four-game sweep to either Calgary or Nashville or Winnipeg. That was my whole point of view. Now, again,
I get it.
This team, the way this team plays right now, I don't know, man. Like, I think that they can hold their own at least for a round, but who knows? Again, the way this team has played is kind of like Missouri weather. Let's talk again next week, and we may be, you know, right back down in the bottom.
Yeah, so it could be interesting. I mean, Binnington's playing well. Team seems to be responding. I guess all we can hope for is that the Blues, if they're going to get in, man, I want them to get in and at least win a round. That'd be great. Just because I want to push that draft pick down as far as possible.
That is my entire point of view. Like, if you're not going to make noise in the playoffs, then why? Like, if you make the playoffs and get swept in four games, does it really matter that you made the playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. So, I mean, like I said, my thing is getting that draft pick pushed is because I don't want them to just miss the playoffs and they get, like, just like last year, get the 14 pick.
Agreed.
That's more my thing.
And that, Jason, that's a great point because that's my biggest concern is that this team finishes like it did last year and finishes like a point or two out. We lose that number one pick. and or we lose that first round pick because it's supposed to go to Buffalo for the O'Reilly trade. And then this team is basically the same team it was next season.
Yeah, because I don't think they're good. They'll move out some contracts, but not too many, though.
Sure. Yeah, and I was just going to say, we talked last podcast about some of these contracts that will come off the books. But, you know, you'd basically be rolling with the same core that you had for the last 2 years. I will say, and I don't remember if we talked about it last show or not, I think the time has come for St. Louis to utilize their buyout. I believe they're the only team that has not used one.
Correct. Well, one of the few. I had to look at everything, but I thought I remember seeing that stat with them, and I think maybe one more team have not, since this has been allowed, bought a player out.
Yeah, I think it's time. I think it's time for the Blues to utilize the buyout, and I think that they need to buy out Alexander Steen.
Yeah, I've been a fan. Like I said, I try to do my best to separate the contract from the guy and just the play. Just him being on the second line, man, it just hasn't been great. And he's more of a third line guy at best right now. And we knew when he signed that contract, we kind of figured maybe the last year of that contract he wouldn't be great, but it's like the last year, so we could not worry about it. Man, it's just – it's time. Like him and like the Bozak thing is 1 year. So I'm like, okay, he got injured. I'm going to let it go this year. Hopefully next year he can get, you know, have an improved play and have improved line mates, and maybe that'll help out. But like Steen hasn't really helped him. I think it's kind of been kind of like, okay, Steen, I'm not saying Steen's dragging people down, but I think they both haven't played well. So it makes them both like look really bad. And then they had that line with, I think it was Bozak, Steen, and Maroon. And I'm like, man, that's just the three guys that are just, everybody's been down on all in one line, and it's just not working out.
My reasoning for wanting to use the buyout on Steen, I think, is just an all-consuming thing with him. You know what I mean? Like, hockey performance aside, he's obviously not what he was. But, and we don't need to rehash everything. We've talked about the rumors and innuendo around him a ton. I just think that for the betterment of this team as a whole, it's time for him to go. And unfortunately, he has a contract that you can't really get rid of. You know, he's got a no movement clause. He's got a full no trade, I believe.
Yeah, full no trade. He has a no movement clause. So technically, if you really wanted to, you can send him to the minors. That's like the one if you really move to get him off the team if you're that desperate.
I mean, I think that you've got two options when it comes to Alexander Steen. Well, three. One, stay the course, which I think that's part of the reason this team is in the problem it's in. Two, basically go to him and say, we're going to healthy scratch you until you give us a list of teams that you'll accept a trade to.
Holland, Doug Wade.
Yeah. Or three, buy him out. An update from Tampa Bay, at the end of regulation, we are scoreless. So the Blues get 1 point, at least.
All right. There we go. Well, hey, against a top team, and we're out shooting them at least last time I checked. So I'll take it. So I want to ask you one question before we go, and I'll put this as our next Twitter question for everybody to answer. Due to the recent surge that the Blues have had, you know, resurgence, I guess you can say, do you think the Blues are now looking more and more likely that Craig Berube has a pretty decent chance of coming back as coach? So does Craig Berube lose an interim tag and be the next head coach, full-time head coach?
Short of this team going deep into the playoffs, no.
I think they're waiting on the Joel Quenneville thing.
Oh, dude, yeah. I think with him not being named coach within the first week, I kind of feel that Quenneville basically told everyone, I'm taking the rest of this year off.
Yeah, because he's making $6 million the rest of, you know, for this year. Might as well just suck it up and
relax. Let's look at the teams since he's been fired, the teams that have made changes. St. Louis, Philadelphia,
Edmonton,
and I'm missing one. I can't think of who they are. LA was before.
LA is before. That's all I can think of.
All right.
Man, well, there's been rumors for other ones.
With those three, you know damn well that all three of those teams have reached out to him. Edmonton obviously decided to go with Ken Hitchcock. I think that's a great choice. Philly, I believe, still has an interim coach, and so do the Blues.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody has an interim coach. I think none of the people that have been brought in this year have lost the interim tag. I think Chicago? Did we say Chicago? Obviously Chicago. Did we say that?
Well, no, I didn't include them, but they're obviously not going to rehire the guy they fired.
No, yeah, but Chicago, they fired, obviously, Quenneville, and it did make the Jeremy Colturin, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Like the actual coach, not interim coach. He's actually the coach.
Yeah, I think he and Hitch are the only two that don't have interim in front of their names.
Yeah, Hitch, he hired
a coach.
Yeah. So I don't know. So it's interesting. So you don't think Brubaker? I think there's a better chance than I originally thought there was now, especially if he gets his team into the playoffs.
Honestly, I think it depends on who's out there. If Quenneville wants the job, it's his. If he doesn't, there's always the wheel of coaches that come about. I think that the Blues will obviously look at a big name coach. You know, you've got a team that has got a lot of money on it. Oh boy, that was not a good play by O'Reilly. Oh my God, Jordan Bennington just made the save of the year.
Okay, I'll check that out. So,
I don't dislike Berube, but I think that if they have the ability to pull in an A-list name, they're going to do it.
There's no point for it. I think that's definitely what they is a good chance. I think that they like the players like Berube, but I think there's a good chance that they still retain him.
And I will agree, the better this team keeps playing – and the more they continue to gel and come together as a unit, obviously you don't want to mess with what's working. And Berube is a part of that. I'm sure that they're going to talk to the players at the end of this season. And they're probably not going to talk to all of them, but you got to think they're going to talk to Tarasenko. They're going to talk to O'Reilly. They're going to talk to Petro. They're going to talk to the big guys and go, do you want them or not? And just say, look, we have the option right now to bring in X, Y, and Z. Let's shoot for the moon and say that, Armstrong comes down to the team and says, guys, we can get Joel Quenneville. He has said if the offer's right, he would come here. Do you want Joel Quenneville or do you want, Craig Berube? I'm sure that conversation happens at some point.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll say also a little note from there was too much in Rutherford's chat that I read today, but one interesting thing he did say, he's like, he firmly believes that the next year's number one goalie is not on this roster right now.
I don't disagree with that. I really don't. I mean, he is, it's certainly not going to be Jake Allen, and I don't think that Jordan Bennington is the answer yet.
I agree.
I could see a situation where you see, dude, it wouldn't surprise me to see us go to the Ducks and do Allen for Gibson. Maybe Allen and somebody else for Gibson.
Allen and probably somebody really good. You're probably talking like a Jordan Kyrou, possibly Robert Thomas type thing.
I wouldn't go that far for him, but
I'm just saying that's what they would want. That's their biggest trade chip, so they're going to want the moon for
him. How about Allen and Schwartz?
Could be possible because Schwartz is due. They need some younger guys on that team, so you never know. That's an interesting could be an interesting offseason where I think they're going to – I don't think Bomeister's going to be back, even though he's improved his play. Gunnarsson's more of a possibility because, man, this team has played really well since Gunnarsson's been back. Not saying he's the sole reason, but maybe he kind of stabilized a couple of things. Who knows? But I firmly think they're going to try their damnedest to move on from Allen. I don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to try the damnedest.
I think if it is not at the deadline, which you have to think it was at the deadline, it's a goalie for goalie trade. That it is it's an off season trade of some kind.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. This overtime, you can definitely tell this team is our team is not the fleased of foot
for an overtime penalty, and I think it was a BS call on Vince Dunn.
I kind of think it was they ran into each other too. But anyway. We'll wrap it up there so we can finish up this overtime. So if you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, It'll be at Blues Hockey NHL. That's where our Twitter question, should Craig Berube be hired as the next coach of the Blues? And that'll be the Twitter question for next week. So Chris is at?
At Hossapalooza.
And also find us on Facebook, the Blues Hockey Podcast, same there, and Instagram, and also a bunch of other places. YouTube, Stitcher, Apple Podcast. What's the one? That's about it, yeah. So Spotify, the big one, of course, and Google Play. They called two penalties, so the Blues, yeah, it's going to be 4-on-4. I think they called the dive, the old good old dive and hooking play.
And you missed a classic Blues 3-on-1 where nothing happened.
I guess my feed is a little behind then. So
That should be a hooking on Steven Stamkos they didn't call.
Interesting. So anyway, we'll wrap it up there, and then we'll see what happens. Hopefully, next time we talk, the Blues are in a playoff spot. You never know.
God, who would have thought we'd even be talking about this seriously?
Yeah, in a serious manner, at least. We can always joke around about it. So, all right, well, we'll leave it there, and hopefully the Blues pull this one out against the best team in the league. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.